This is an Audio Wool original.
This episode of Fright Day is brought to you by Gates of Hell Chipotle Hot Sauce by Fright Day. Bold chipotle flavor blended with habanero peppers for just the right burn. Kissed with garlic and passion fruit. Zero human blood, like none at all. Visit shop.frightday.com before the first batch disappears.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/frightday.
It's Fright Day. I'm your host, Byron. Legacy can present itself as both a gift and a curse. A leg up sometimes comes with forecast of excellence, but by the time you come to terms that the footsteps you're following in may have been made by shoes too big to fill, the desperation to meet expectation can become a significant nemesis. Amplified even more when your livelihood pivot involves a UFO sucking up all kinds of stuff and getting it on film. We'll talk about that tonight as we review Jordan Peele's Nope. I'm joined tonight by Kelly.
Yes.
And Sam can't make it because he's working the late shift at Fry's Electronics, which is great. Cool.
It's
employee
a good
discount.
Gig.
Look at all this equipment.
It's a good gig.
It's a great gig.
Yep.
Here we are. I drove 10 and a half hours to do this and then turn around and go back home.
You are crazy, but that's what I love about you. I was trying to sell Shanoa on...
Doing the popover?
Yeah, jumping in with you.
Oh, hopping in the car, yeah.
Yeah,
here we are in the Oregon coast again.
It's beautiful.
As Kelly has a court date.
Yep, I do. Can't leave. Well, can't leave.
You did that awful thing, and now you got to sit here until they decide if you were guilty or innocent.
Who knew that was illegal in Oregon?
Well, it's illegal everywhere.
No, not everywhere.
Almost internationally as
well. I don't
think
it is in Florida.
Well, that's where we're headed next, right? The new compound.
The new compound.
Because I'm so sick of this tyrannical government telling me what to do. Texas is full, so we're going to Florida. How you been? It's been a bit, huh?
You know, I'm pretty good. I'm better after our movie venture yesterday, I have
movie
to say.
Movie venture. Can't wait to talk about the full experience.
It was pretty cool.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're talking about us going and checking out the film Nope, which we're talking about.
In a,
yes, we are, Kelly.
Nope.
Stop it.
I know. That's not even good. I'm not even going to lean into that one.
You've been enjoying the waves crashing in, huh?
I do. Yeah, I get up every morning and I sit out there on the deck and I work on my depersonalization situation.
Okay, so you
listen
keep,
to the waves.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yep, thank you.
It's just a nice little place right on the water here. So.
It is. It's lovely.
You've been here for a couple weeks?
Yep. Dos semanas.
Okay, working on that as well.
Con mis hijos.
Like a Babelfish subscription or something?
See?
Okay, that's great.
See?
I was more of a French guy.
Mm.
Okay, now you're being racist.
Isn't it still okay to be racist against French
right
people,
now,
though?
But retrospectively, you
oh, yeah,
will be getting
gonna,
canceled. It'll be like me doing an Italian
well.
Accent or something.
It's
like,
not
going to get in trouble.
Well.
We just both got canceled.
We both did. Like, but not until like 2037. So like we're okay.
I'd say we only have a couple years
left. Oh, I think it's
left.
Like 37. I think
really?
It's going to be a while. Yeah.
Well... We'll enjoy
those
it.
Like colonial civilizations like America, I don't think are going to get us in trouble for a while. I feel like it's going to be way down the road before people have no tolerance for mocking those ones.
Well, it wasn't
they're
going to
be
mockery.
Like last.
It was if you're.
It was pretty mocking.
That
I
was
say.
Bad. It was not. Stop doing it.
They do have great cheese. I'll give them that.
It's true. Baguettes. Apparently, bread is better.
Triple
over
cream.
There. Did you know that?
Really? Why?
Apparently, bread in the United States is trash compared to.
Explain why.
I've never.
Give
been...
me the lowdown.
God, I read an article, if I'm going to Portlandia
this situation.
There's
got to be some science. There's got to be some science behind it.
Why don't you do a full episode on bread, Byron?
All right, so you're making fun
bread
of
bread in shopping carts, mayhaps.
Why is American bread so bad? We don't really need to get into it. But
I need you to get into it.
I mean, I imagine it's because there's so much sugar in it. Real bread shouldn't have any sugar in
really?
It.
Really? Is that true?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, well, then I'll start making some bread without any sugar.
What,
stand by.
Fun little drive. Slept in my car outside of Ritzville, where the temperature was going to be 117.
this week.
Glad you didn't stick around there,
Hope you all are staying cool. I got a solid 3.5 hours sleep in my car. I stayed up a little too late that night, and then the sun woke me up, of course, and the temperature.
Yeah.
Feeling youthful, though. Haven't slept in my car in a bit.
Really?
So. Yeah. I mean, I used to do that all the time because, well, lunatic. Drive up and down the PCH to, like, drive down to Los Angeles for events, conventions, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've done that, so it was a nice nostalgic moment, and my back is not what it used to be, Kelly. Sleeping in the front seat of a Honda Fit is not the best thing, but...
Yeah, why didn't you at least go into the back?
Go into the back? I don't think it's...
You like, lay down in the back seat?
In the back seat? I'm not a short man. I'm also not a tall man.
Yeah.
5'11", 5'12", on a good day.
Yeah, so it feels like you could fit back there okay.
I don't think I could stretch out in any real...
You don't think so?
I don't think so, but here I am. Here we are.
We're here.
What have you been doing with your time here?
I've been doing a lot of research on...
I'm beeping that out. We can't spoil that this early.
I mean, it's going to be my next episode.
It's going to be your next series, and it's going to dovetail into my series.
Into yours. So yeah, I've been really trying to learn more about that.
I'm beeping it out. You can't be spoiling that.
He's a character.
I know. I can't wait to talk about it.
He really is a character. So he's got a lot going on.
Did they give you writing implements in prison?
Well, that's weird because you do get to write.
Maybe you have to be in a conference room with your lawyer in order to actually have that time. Library time, maybe. Kelly, I know that you're upset. We're going to get through this.
Okay.
Together.
Okay.
You know, we are on vacation, but I think we should pop into work for just a second.
Just 1 second. This one's going to help me. I'm going to be happy about this.
Time for staff pick.
They say so much, but they never tell you if it's any good.
Werewolf movie with E.T.'s mom in it.
The Howling Horror straight ahead.
God fucking damn it.
I think this might be the most inside baseball version of staff picks that we've ever done.
I mean, mine is.
So is mine, so.
I do love that you tried to tell me it couldn't be normie, even though yours is overtly normie.
That's not true. It's a genre film.
It is such a normie film.
It's a genre film.
Okay, well, then mine is, too. There's some
tangentially,
people,
I guess.
There are some people in this movie that are going to surprise you.
A film from 2002. It's actually, I believe, a sequel. It's a,
is it?
Yeah, it's a sword and sorcery action-adventure film.
Sequel to The Mummy.
Directed by Chuck Russell. It's The Scorpion King.
Destroy us one by one.
Tomorrow my victory is complete.
A warrior who would become their only hope.
I know the prophecy. I have seen it.
They are the last of their kind. Skilled assassins. Trained for generations in the deadly arts.
Will you stand alone before the fury of his armies?
Yes.
Take a breath. Take a dozen of your best men. Track him down. Kill him.
Instead of talking about the synopsis, which I'll get to in a second, I would like to say this entire episode... I think you should probably listen to it only after you've seen the feature film Nope, or if you really don't care about spoilers, because we're just going to be willy-nilly shooting from the hip about most things about this.
I also don't think that the two movies that we're talking about are going to...
I'm just saying, they're inside jokes from
the movie.
And that's what I'm saying.
But they don't spoil anything
inspired
about the movie.
By the legendary Egyptian warrior, the Scorpion King, it's set 5,000 years ago in the notorious city of Gomorrah, where an evil ruler is determined to lay waste to all the nomadic people of the desert. Mm-hmm. A few remaining tribes, never natural allies, have to unite or perish, knowing that their enemy, of course, relies on the visions of a sorcerer. They hired a skilled assassin, a guy named Matthias, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, of course, to eliminate this visionary. So, I think it was one of the early roles for Dwayne The Rock. He was still going full-blown The Rock, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He had back in 2001. Yeah. Post,
wow,
I mean,
that's 21 years ago.
Yeah, I got a notification
the
other day that it was my 14th year on Twitter, and I almost drove my car into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, wow.
That was bad.
Wow.
But this movie, I don't think I've ever seen it. I can't recommend it. Dwayne's a fine actor. His hair in this is real funny. This is before he starts shaving his head. And he was kind of I love it when people swing swords at other people and when blood comes out the other end. I think it's kind of fun.
It is pretty fun.
It's cool. It's cool stuff.
I'll give that to you.
I like crew hoodies a lot better than this movie, probably. That orange hoodie is sick. Boxy style, old construction.
It was a good one.
It's a good hoodie.
I will give you that.
We'll probably talk not at all about that later, but yeah, maybe.
You know, you're going to. You're going to do some weird obsession on the clothing from the movie.
No, clothing is good. Oh my gosh, I got a beep.
Yeah, what you beeping for?
Nothing.
No, but it was.
Kelly, how about you?
Oh, so this has actually worked out really well for me because this is a movie I wanted to talk about in a previous episode and didn't get a chance to because Byron cut me off too quickly.
Oh.
I'm going to give you just a little bit before we get too far into it because I do think it's interesting. There are a number of famous actors in this movie that you may not know have horror connections. So, for example, Ned Beatty.
Ned Beatty
passed away recently. You'll recognize him as a longtime character actor.
Yeah.
But he was in a couple horror flicks before he left this planet.
Oh, he's deceased?
Yes, I do believe so. I'm fairly sure. Didn't he die recently?
I have no idea.
Yeah, 21. He just died last year. He was great. No. He was also in Rango, one of my favorite non-horrors.
I didn't even talk about the soundtrack for The Scorpion King. This thing's a ripper.
Okay, go ahead.
Godsmack, POD, Drowning Pool, System of a Down, Creed, Nickelback, Hoobasnake, Rob Zombie, 12 Stones, Mushroom Head, Seven Dust, Breaking Point, and Cold Chamber?
Yeah, okay.
That is soundtrack of a summer for Byron back in 2002. A whole bunch of dirtbag rippers.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Ned Beatty, who unfortunately passed away in 2001.
Yeah.
Or 2021, mm-hmm. My apologies. Shelley Winters. Both of these are like long time, super legit.
Ah.
She was around forever. She died in 2006.
We're going to release the tension of this?
Yeah, just a minute.
Uh-huh.
We've also got Peggy Lipton, who played Norma from Twin Peaks.
Okay.
We've got Neil Patrick Harris.
NPH.
We've got Thora Birch.
Love Birch. I don't think she's made a lot of great choices post, American Beauty.
We've got Dustin Diamond.
Oh, rest in peace, of course. Pimp, so, King.
And also, in researching this, I uncovered there were... Oh, I guess Peggy died in 2020.
Sure.
But there were three of the actors in this movie who all died in a very short period of time. Movie is 1988's adaptation of the song Purple People Eater.
Some kids have their heads in the clouds. Look at Billy. He dreams all day.
Earth's calling Billy.
Hey, Billy, can't just dream our lives away.
But one day... a rock and roll dream came true. A purple people eater playing rock and roll music through the horn on his head.
Wow!
Cool. Come on, everybody, do the purple!
Purple is a little strange,
yes.
But that's because he's a real artist.
Starring Ned Beatty.
What's it look like?
Very punk.
Shelley Winters.
I'm going to twist it up. I'm going to twist it down. I'm going to twist it up and then around.
And of course, Purple. Special guest appearances by Chubby Checker. Yeah! And Little Richard. Purple People Eater. It's a rock and roll dream come true.
Okay. And this
Watch
guy,
this.
How many eyes does this the purple people?
Just have? One.
Okay.
And one horn.
Oh.
And he flies and he is purple and he eats people, but not tough people. This movie just flies under the radar for whatever reason. I mean, one might argue that the acting wasn't top notch, but it's a super family friendly alien flick about a purple, fuzzy, adorable alien that comes to Earth. And Billy, played by Neil Patrick Harris, mm-hmm. is a teenage boy who is adorable and trying to help out his grandpa and his grandpa's friend who's going to get evicted from a local retirement community because the mean developer in town is going to tear it down and Ooh, build a mall.
That might come into...
Joke's on him because malls are dead.
Malls are...
Right.
Ended.
Yeah, joke's on him, but...
I actually think they might be coming back.
You think they're coming full circle? Yeah. Well, anyhow, Neil Patrick Harris, one of his friends, is Dustin Diamond, who was in it just because this was, you know, the time when he was a thing.
I mean, Dustin, he was fine. I feel horrible for the way he kind of went out, you know.
Oh, literally, like the way he went out?
Yeah. First of all, if you have a bump on your body, go get it checked
Please
out.
Please go get it yeah, checked out.
His, from diagnosis to death, was like less than a month or a little over.
Yeah.
Super sad. And, you know, like... It's especially sad because he took on this, like, villain arc of his life, which I think he wasn't ever really that. It was just, like, a PR-y kind of thing. And,
right,
you know,
and that became his legacy.
And that's disappointing because I'm sure that if he would have had more time, he would have been able to, like, show the real
Recalibrate
Dustin.
That.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so it is really too bad. But Thora Birch, who most people know from American Beauty,
yeah.
I'm not sure if you know this, but she had an incredible childhood career, and this was her first movie.
Wow, okay.
This was...
I mean, she was in Now and Then.
She was in Paradise. She was in Patriot Games. Hocus, she was in Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
Clear and Present Danger.
Ghost World.
Yeah, she
Cult
knocked
classic.
It out of the park,
yeah.
And this was her absolute start.
Yeah, I wanted to take back my criticism of, I don't know what she's done lately. She had a great role on Walking Dead, one of the last real big heavies.
Yeah, and I never watched that.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Did
and,
she?
Yeah.
That's
and,
awesome.
And apparently she's got a role in the upcoming Wednesday thing that's coming out on Netflix.
And also the Gabby Petitos.
Wait, what? There's a Gabby Petito thing?
The Gabby Petito story.
Really?
What For
is,
real.
What is that?
Follows Gabby's tragic murder centering in her complicated relationship with her fiancé, Ben.
Don't you think it's
what may
like,
have gone wrong? She's directing it,
okay.
And is in it.
Ben? Wait, was that the guy's name?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know it wasn't. Laundry.
Oh, Brian.
Brian. I was going to say.
Brian. Did I say Ben?
You said Ben.
Did I? That's weird. How did I mess that up? Because I was actually just reading from
the
screen.
Well, it's the B and the N. You know, there's that
just
thing.
Went, must be part of my depersonalization issue.
Stop. You need to.
I'm leaning.
It's not even been diagnosed, so.
I don't need
that. We do go into that on Behind the Screams this week, so.
Yeah. Anyhow, this, some of my happiest memories are surrounding this. It's one of those movies, I don't know if this happens to anybody else, but if you watch a movie early enough in your life that it imprints, and you can literally recite the entire script, all of the music, I can do that. I watched this with the girls for the first time a few years ago, and it was almost creepy. I knew word for word everything that was going to happen.
It is bizarre that you, I mean, and I recognize that the bizarre part is me. I never rewatched things as a kid. Like, I was always on the next thing, the same way I am now. Like,
on to the next, on to the next.
Who sings that?
I think it's Jay-Z.
I think it's Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like, what was the thing? Well, Wild People, Purple Eater? What's the full name? Purple People Eater?
Purple People Eater. Do you not know that song?
I'm familiar with the song,
okay,
which is featured in the film that we're about to talk about in a minute.
Right, but fun fact, the guy who wrote the song...
Chubby Checker.
What was his name? Hold on, because he was actually...
Sheb
Woolley.
Yeah.
He actually had a bit part in the movie, which was kind of adorable.
Oh, wow.
Because he was a billion years old at that point.
Yeah, I was going to say, Purple People Eater did for UFOs what Harry and the Henderson did for Bigfoot, right?
Bam. Got
exactly.
It. Yep.
And I didn't.
Well, and it was at a time when like communion was a thing and like people were freaking
communion?
Out about. Yeah, communion.
What is that? The ritual and rites of Catholic Church?
No. Whitley Strieber?
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that was the big. That came out in 1989, but the book came out earlier.
What is communion?
We're going to have to cover that. That would be a great, Wine Kelly or Cinema. Actually, Cinema Autopsy, it would be perfect. It's got Walken in it.
Yeah.
Look at the cover of the book. I want you to look up the book Communion and look at the cover of it.
Is it extraterrestrial?
I actually talked about the cover of it with, what's his name from Butte when we interviewed him?
That's right, that professor.
For a lot of kids, this was their first introduction
the
to the gray face.
You're right.
The book.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Didn't your parents have a copy of that? I feel like so many parents had copies of that.
My mom had L. Ron Hubbard books, and that's it.
Okay, well, that's cool. So
she had Dianetics back in the day, which is hilarious.
Wild.
I would really like us to, especially with the Danny Masterson stuff, to reach out again to Tony Ortega to get some sort of update. I would like you.
I'd love it. Let's do it.
You want to talk to Tony
again?
Sure,
I'll talk to Tony.
Right.
Again? Did we talk to Tony once?
Are you stupid?
Yes.
You talked to Tony Ortega. You did an interview with Tony Ortega.
Hey, Tony, this is Kelly. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Thank you so much for finding time for us.
And it's good.
I told you, depersonalization. Byron, I'm not kidding you right now. I have zero memory of that. I did an interview with Tony Ortega.
That's so funny. A conversation.
No, I didn't.
August 1st of 2018.
No, I didn't.
You did an interview with Tony Ortega.
No, I didn't.
And it was good. It was during our Scientology episode series. We did the four episodes on Scientology.
God, that is weird. All right, well, let's talk to him again.
In her continued journey down the rabbit hole of Scientology, Kelly had the privilege of speaking with one of the foremost experts in the field. Tony Ortega is often the first and sometimes only journalist to cover important stories about the trail of destruction that the mysterious religion seems to leave in its wake.
Okay, let's do it. Let's.
You're scaring me.
Bulbados is stealing all my memories. I can't help it.
You need to quit. Is Bulbados like a...
What do you want me to blame? Do you want me to blame depersonalization or Bulbados? Those are the only two I've got.
I want you to take Ginkgo Biloba. And
no, that's supposed to be pretty bad, actually. I think it interacts with a lot of my other meds. I don't think St. John's wort that does that.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah, well, St. John's wort. I don't trust that St. John at all.
Nope. But, only Germaine. Okay, so.
Great recommendation, Kelly. Both non-horror films, but you know what? We're going with it because we're.
Mine's an alien movie, at least.
That's true. Yours is better than mine this week.
I mean, yours is, you know, like, well, there's a lot of Egyptian high strangeness.
Ooh,
it's okay.
Very true. Great. It's okay. Thank you for saving me. Let's take a step back into the back room here and. Some people who are saving us by becoming members of the Fright Day Society.
By listening to George Bulbados.
Stop it.
Okay, fine.
And I would like to take a second to welcome and initiate some new members to the Fright Day Society. Actually, this is a returning member of the Fright Day Society. I'd like to welcome back David J.
Oh, David J. How
welcome
you doing?
Home. Welcome he did home. A bit of a rum springa for a second.
That's fine.
It's cool. We'll always welcome you back. We will hold it against you.
No, I won't hold it
I
against
will
you.
Hold it against
Byron
you.
Will, but who cares what Byron does?
David, welcome back.
David, thank you.
What
it's
are you
nice
make
to
him
see
do,
you.
Huh? David's actually, he's been really interactive with the Twitch stream.
Oh,
Twitch.tv/Friday, of course, every
I mean,
Friday.
I don't really
I
do that.
Casual Friday.
What if I just send a direct message on the Discord to him rather than announcing what we're having him do?
Well, you should
like it's so top
it's
secret.
It's top secret.
It's top secret.
All right, well, okay, yeah, fine.
All I right. mean, you like that?
No, I don't.
You don't like it?
Discord.frightday.com. You should definitely join up there too. Join that community. We're always talking about fun and spooky stuff.
Okay.
I also like to welcome. He's an inner circle member, Kelly.
Of course he is.
And you need to write that before you leave the coast here. Write your Moon June inner circle letter, please.
Yeah, so. I've been working on it. It's called
no.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. It is. That's what everybody's getting.
Oh, God.
You can be as upset as you want.
Include a foreword, please, if you could. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'd also like to welcome...
This is him, yeah?
Yes. Yeah?
Okay. Just making sure. Just sending him a message.
Juan G.
Hey, your inner circle assignment
let's welcome
initiation.
Juan, real quick, if you...
Hi, Juan!
Okay.
Welcome, Juan.
Juan.
You know what would be really helpful to me, Byron?
What?
Even if we don't dox them, if there was some way for me to know where these listeners are from.
I don't know this information.
Can they, like, optionally submit that when they become?
Why do you want to regionally know where these people are?
Because I can have them do field work that is specific to where they are.
Tell them just to generally do it, period. Like, submit a story idea. With a little bit of bit of work.
Submit a story idea that is regionally relevant to you.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you guys. And if you want to join the Fright Day Society, it's pretty easy. Go to cult.frightday.com. Members get a lot of stuff. Bonus episodes of Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies, Byron's Zero Corner, Writer's Room, Toast PM with Wine Kelly, Cinema Autopsy. Mm-hmm. You also get over 80 episodes of Behind the Screams, which of course is the show behind the show. We just got done talking for 50 minutes about Kelly's mental health struggles. Things are going well for her and I. I'm on a very destructive journey myself to investigate some of the worst elements of American culture. So if you want to hear us talk about that, and also, I mean, we'd had that really fun episode where I hoodwinked you by talking about a Kelly story. Brought that to the table.
It was good. It was actually really
still
good.
Still lining up that interview, trying real hard to nail that guy down.
Is he not responding? You haven't emailed him, have you?
Yeah. Turns out people who, it's a type of person.
Well, yeah, he probably was at that Crowder show. You could have just talked to him there.
So we're going to move on past that. So thank you. Welcome, FDS, cult.frightday.com. Join up. Because, you know, those are the people who fund this show and allow us to do fun, exciting stuff. Like get me out to the coast for Kelly's trial.
Okay.
Not an expert witness. More like a character witness.
Yeah, but I was going to say, good luck with that.
I'm never going to say that I was there during the thing that happened, of course.
Yep.
Even if I'm subpoenaed.
Yep.
I don't believe in the Holy Bible that put my hand on. Who cares about that, right?
Yep.
Great. Speaking of great, yes, no, maybe, nope. It's time to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. hope you're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Nope is a 2021 American sci-fi horror film written, directed, and produced by Jordan Peele. Of course, this is under his Monkey Paw Productions banner. Two siblings who run a California horse ranch discover something wonderful and sinister in the skies above, while the owner of an adjacent theme park tries to profit from the mysterious otherworldly phenomenon. I don't know about the wonderful part. Do they ever consider it wonderful?
Yeah, they do. It's their meal ticket,
I guess.
Yeah. So it was wonderful. It was a wonderful option.
But the meal
option.
Ticket was also eating their livelihood.
Yes.
So,
but their livelihood was already gone. Right, and so, yeah.
We're going to talk about it. I came over here and I was nervous that we weren't going to be able to catch a screening of this because you are in a very remote location, I guess.
Yeah.
Luckily, we were able to go to a theater nearby.
Yeah, very luckily. I would agree with that.
A relic.
A relic place. Which we were so excited about and complimenting the young assistant manager.
We took a picture outside. It might be show notes of this episode of Friday.com. Empty parking lot. Pretty apparent that not many cars have been parking on this cement.
Yes.
A little overgrown. Paint faded outside, but it's got that like 90s Art Deco resurgence. All of the theaters, like 300 seats, because that used to be a number of people who would attend films in person. And this had 6 screens.
Yes.
Large building.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Enter the door.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of glass. Low pile hotel style carpet.
Very trampled.
Stained.
Yeah. Didn't get too close.
Stained.
Probably would have been stinky.
Posters advertising food items that may or may not still exist. Right? Like
yes.
when I ordered the pull apart pretzel pepperoni.
Yep.
I was like, there's no way they actually have this.
But they did.
They did. And they were excited to get it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it was undercooked. It was very doughy.
Was it?
Yeah. It was bad. And
I never got the feedback from you on that. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, didn't. I was, you know.
Those gummies were real good.
Were they good?
Really good.
Well,
they
were sealed. They're gummies. Like, but
true.
I was very concerned, especially the sauce. They just poured like a marinara dipping sauce into the little side tray of this pretzel thing. Who knows how long that marinara has been sitting out and if they just scooped like a big old thing of mold off the top of it. But I don't want to be negative about this place. It just made me nervous.
Yeah.
Because this type of theater does hold like a very special place in my heart.
I wasn't nervous.
You were fine with it.
Yeah, I'm not germy like you.
That's true.
It doesn't matter to me.
I made it through most of this pandemic without being paranoid and scared.
Yeah.
Give me props for that, please.
Good job.
Thanks.
Great work. Real proud of you.
We walk up to the front. We're changing
Validation.
I appreciate it. Okay. We changed our ticket because we were originally going to go to an 8 p.m. showing, and I showed up early because it's really hard to sleep in your car past 5:30 in the morning during the summer because the sun comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out.
It does.
How'd you feel about this so far?
Great.
Whimsical?
Whimsical.
Yeah.
I was excited. I was really glad that the theater wasn't going to be super packed.
Well, we didn't know that for sure.
No, right when we pulled
lot,
up.
The parking lot. Displayed.
You said at this point. And yeah, at this point, we did know that.
I guess you're right.
I was just very excited about all of it.
Walk up to that royal blue painted counter.
Mm-hmm. All the snacks.
Assistant manager. Couldn't have been a day over 18.
Nope, I don't think so.
Great guy. Tyler. Shouts out.
Yep.
Changed our tickets. You got Kelly. You went soda.
No, I went
unsweetened
iced tea. Unsweetened
brisk.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love iced tea.
Lipton?
Yep.
We were expressing how exciting it was and how nice it was to go to a theater like this.
Oh.
And what did he say?
He said, well, you can enjoy it for about another week because we're closing.
We're becoming apartment complexes.
Not all encounters end up in the news. Some are passed down from family. Some are kept hidden in journals, and some are reported on the Nightmare Society podcast. On the Nightmare Society, we share your true horror stories. Chilling accounts of home invasions, attempted kidnappings, obsessive stalkers, and even close calls with convicted murderers before they landed on a most wanted list. So come join us if you dare, because the scariest stories are the ones that really happen.
Yep. He said, they're shutting us down and turning us into apartments.
Poor guy.
Yeah, it was very sad. But he actually also works at the one that's like 35 minutes
north. He works at every theater.
Or south of there.
He's a cinema lover. a patron of the arts as well as a provider of...
Not great with math, though.
Snacks. Well, yeah, he, for some reason, wouldn't give us the deal after... Oh, man, that was...
I love that you wanted this to be 40 minutes and you've now spent 15 before we've even gotten into
because
the
movie.
Because
I don't want to spoil too much about it.
I know, I guess that's true.
That's the problem. We got to pad this again. I'm the king of padding.
Yep.
I like talking about theatrical experiences. I apologize.
Yes.
It's been a while. We took a big break for a couple of years, but fine. We'll enter the theater. Normal theater seats, not recliners. And I went back and tried to talk to Tyler and say that we needed a refund because this is unacceptable.
No.
The seats don't even lean back. There's no tray table for me to eat
food
off of. It was amazing. I completely agree.
Yep.
Trailers, anything cool that you wanted to see? You're really excited for Don't Worry, Darling.
So excited.
The second trailer of Don't Worry, Darling played, and it seems a lot scarier.
Yes.
Which is great.
Although I kind of wish I hadn't seen the second trailer because it gave too much more away. I'm very excited. I trust Olivia Wilde.
She's a great director. I mean, Booksmart was incredible.
Yeah.
It's cool that she's going in this horror direction. The cast is great. It only showed Nick Kroll talking once in the trailer, which is weird, right?
That is weird.
Is he comic relief or is he actually like going straight?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Excited about that. Excited about whatever the hell that Possession movie was.
It's called Pray for the Devil.
Yep, because I love Possession movies. Was that Bosworth? I couldn't tell.
Was it a Bosworth?
It looked like Bosworth, but...
I don't think Bosworth's in it. Virginia Madsen's in it.
Who's the main nun?
Jacqueline Byers?
Oh, she just looked a little bit like Bosworth.
Sure. Yeah. That was the one you thought was Busy Phillips' daughter.
Yeah. Who is the kid?
Jacqueline Byers. Oh, is there the young kid?
I'm talking about the nun and then the young kid I thought was Busy Phillips' daughter. Cricket.
Oh, my gosh. Cricket. Posey Taylor?
No.
That looks cool. PG-13 Lions Gates. Possession film that's coming out it was October 29th,
I believe. It was very Halloween-y, I remember that.
A nun prepares to perform an exorcism and comes face to face with a demonic force with mysterious ties to her past, because of course her mom and her had an abusive relationship. Mommy issues, I guess, is pretty much it.
Yeah
looks cool. PG-13 though makes me very nervous, and Lionsgate hasn't done a lot recently. Prey, is that what that thing was called? Not Prey. Praise the new Predator film. What is that weird Idris Elba, Charlotte Copley?
Oh, whatever, the one about the lion. I still think we need to do my idea with that.
I like that idea. I just think the movie's going to be not great, right?
No, but great way to make lemons out of lemonade. I mean, to make lemonade out of lemons.
Well, considering how hard it is to get you into a theater.
Yeah, but...
Kelly, you're the one that's like, did this blockbuster horror film... come out for us as a press screener? And I'm like, absolutely not. They don't give press screeners for...
Well, it's just because of it. It's harder to do. It's not that I won't do it.
No,
it's just
you
want to
do
always...
it. The film is called Beast, by the way.
Yeah.
Not Prey. But it's a lion movie.
Yeah.
About a
I struggle with those. I really struggle with those because I always want the animals to win because I'm like, fuck humans. Humans have been awful to animals. But then, you know, I like Idris Elba, so I don't want him to die.
I also realize that animals don't have... empathy, or
some of them do.
Dolphins.
Sam won't eat octopus anymore. Do you know that?
Wow.
Because of that.
Well, I don't eat octopus because it's gross. So.
Well.
I don't think that movie looks good, but we might be covering it for the show. Who knows? I think that might have been the only other trailer. They only give us three at this theater.
Mm.
Maybe, right? Does that seem right?
Maybe.
I think so. You got to start using your memory.
Sorry.
You just have to try.
It's gone.
You just have to try.
It's gone.
Great.
I'm sorry.
And then Nope starts.
Nope.
I have to say, I'm
so confused by the first scene.
You were confused by it.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
Well, it does open in 1998.
Yeah, on the set of a sitcom.
Gordy's Home.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck is, what is going on?
Well, you got Ricky Duke.
And for a hot second, because Byron, you've been hypothesizing for a while that this movie wasn't actually going to be about aliens or UFOs.
Yeah.
And so for that first scene, I was like, oh God, B
was
right.
Nailed it.
It's about it's Congo. We've got a Congo remake.
All right. And that was what I was going to say about Beast is I do like these mid-late 90s inspired.
No me gusta.
Animal.
No me gusta nada.
Sentient animal threat. You love Jaws though? This is Jaws but in the jungle.
Yeah, but I like Jaws, but I also don't like the fact that it's resulted in the death of tons of sharks. Like people
that's
are
true.
Just fucking stupid.
We
and you can't
really
trust people and people
that.
Are dumber than they've ever been.
But Nope. I mean, we don't need to talk about Jordan Peele. Of course, we've covered two of Jordan's amazing. Yeah.
I do want to give... Well, actually, I'll do that in my summary. Never mind.
Do we need to talk about Jordan Peele?
I don't think so.
Incredible director. We've covered his first movie and his second, Get Out and Us. Go back in our catalog. Those
He's brilliant.
And if this wasn't a coastal episode, you better believe I would have written something big about this. But
that's okay.
It's called...
Nobody needs to know about Jordan because they already know. It's all right.
1998, Gordy's Home. This is cool because it's like kind of... we're given glimpses of this situation throughout the film. And it is discussed, but it was confusing.
Yep.
It was an intriguing way to start. It insinuates that this chimpanzee on the set of a sitcom is murdering people.
Yes.
It's fun. Present day, the Hayward family.
Yep.
Otis and OJ. Otis, yep, played by Keith David.
Papa and son.
OJ, his son, played by
Cowboys.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Horse farm in Cali.
Is that where it was? Northern California? Not northern.
Not even outside northern.
Outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah, outside of LA. Agua Dulce.
Is that a real place? Did you look that
up? I think
up?
It is. It just means sweet water.
Okay. And that was one of our first, like, we were trying really hard to look for
Dulce
these little...
Dulce base.
Yeah, we were looking for these little small connections, too.
Yep.
Well, by strangeness, of course.
Because there were lots of movie connections that were very obvious that we could find. And some of the... I will look into this. I have not yet, but I want to see. There was a ton of pan flute throughout the movie, and pan flute is like
a... I don't
a
know if it was pan flute.
Uber art
I don't
bell.
I think you know what a pan flute is.
Oh my God,
I know.
Fuck you.
I know you know what the song that is the opening to Art Bell is, but I don't think that there was pan flute literally scoring this.
No, some of the background music. It wasn't in the score.
It was like just kind of hanging in the back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll find it.
You
don't
should.
Worry.
I mean, we could run through this real quick. Otis Sr. dies when a bunch of
random shit falls out of a plane.
Coins,
apparently.
Keys. One of these coins ended up going through.
Through his eye.
He was on a horse and he falls
and
off.
And going straight into his brain.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It fell with such force.
Yeah, it came from
gravity's
way up.
Yep.
Well, I mean, if you drop a coin off the Empire State Building,
yes.
I mean, it could kill someone.
That is very true.
But I did like the scene. A horror film could open with that and then not have that connection between Otis and his dad, or OJ and his dad, on the way in. Just the, like, less than 30-second moment where he's talking to his dad about composers, I think. Is that what they were going back? He's like, they're naming composers to keep him conscious and sharp because he's bleeding profusely out of this wound on his head. But I thought even that short, like, quick scene really, like, connected the two. David's only on screen for, like, maybe less than 5 minutes total. Two? But, like,
less than
that
two,
relationship really was built very quickly. That's one of those Jordan Peele.
Well, and also
Peele
that, I think, is Daniel's
reaction,
and then the way he carries that relationship throughout the rest of the movie.
Yeah, but I thought that was a really, I mean, I might say masterful too many times in talking about Jordan Peele directing, but, like, he is just so good at the subtleties of relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very low-key character building.
Quickly, 6 months later, Kiki Palmer's character...
Well, and there's a reference in that first scene, too, to Where's Your Sister?
Yeah, so we know that
In fact, you know what I was wondering, Byron? For some reason, I felt like he said sisters.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
But he must not have, because there's never any other reference to another sister.
Emerald is her name, though.
Yeah, M.
M, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that. Is there a secret loss in there that I'm unfamiliar with?
I don't know.
I don't know. Another character developing moment. He's on set of this film.
Yep.
And he's put in a position 6 months later, still obviously grieving the loss of his father, who it seemed like took the reins, didn't write it down. You know, it seemed like he was the face of this company.
Nobody was ready to take that spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, like, it's... they didn't expect their father to die so young.
I mean,
he wasn't.
Yep.
He was on a horse, you know, still trained in horses. Like he... had been doing for a long time, you know, but OJ sitting there on set having to deal with being basically abused and treated like his role on set is less important than any other actor or the producer or even most PAs.
Yeah.
Treated pretty poorly. And M is running late.
Yes.
He's just trying to keep the business afloat. And I think he's pretty aware of the legacy and pressure that his father's reputation has held in the industry.
Yeah, and I think there's this subtext, which actually Jordan Peele referenced in an interview, that the source point for this movie really was that film, that jockey film, which was the first motion picture that was,
it called Animal Locomotion?
And there really is no knowledge surrounding who that black jockey was. And it's just a very good micro example of American history in the sense that everyone knows the guy who filmed it. and no one knows the black actor who was in it.
I need to figure out, is it called the Maybridges picture? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is Edward Maybridge, Muybridge.
Muybridge? Thank you.
And he was known as the forefather of cinema, but nobody knows who that black guy is.
The black jockey.
And that's just such an interesting, you know, in terms of whatever critical race theory or understanding our history in a way that isn't just written by old white men. Mm-hmm. I think this movie follows that. In many ways, what happens to the Haywards in this family is a result of that trying to end up on the historical radar that they have been really unfairly unrepresented in.
Do you think that that was true, or is it just something that they
said? No, it is true.
No, but them being related, the Haywards. The great, 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 great.
Oh, like in the movie line, was that true or was that?
Yeah, her saying that. Was he actually related to them?
I feel like that was up for interpretation.
Yeah, I think that thought that was interesting, though. M comes on set and kind of takes the reins and gives this big speech, and we find that she is 100% different from her brother. Constantly feels the need to prove herself because of the things that happened when she was younger.
Yeah.
On set, someone ignores one of the rules around a horse.
Which is not
had a big reflective bulb.
And also not stand in kicking range, which is just like every moron knows that.
And OJ was trying to express that.
M was not being super helpful.
So they brought in a stunt horse after they, like not a stunt horse, a literal like model of a horse to replace this real horse. So he lost the gig, and in return he's financially struggling, so he has to sell another one of his horses to the Jupe Park. Ricky Jupe Park is his last name, but it's a former child star who has now this attraction, Jupiter's Claim. It's kind of like a Dollywood, but for a former child actor?
Yep.
What was his movie?
He was on a previous show that was about a sheriff. He was like a kid sheriff.
Is that what it
sheriff.
Was? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so like Doogie Howser, but... Right. And I do want to say right now...
Is that another Purple People Eater reference?
Maybe.
Ooh,
could very well
Humdinger.
Be. I should say, you know how I only got like 3.5 hours sleep in my car?
Yeah.
I may have gotten 3.5 minutes of sleep in the movie.
Well, maybe a couple more. I really tried to keep an eye on you, but then I got too into the movie and I stopped keeping an eye on you. And then I looked and I was like, shit,
I just want to say this. It's disrespectful. This is a move, like a very, like.
It's not a sleeper, I promise.
It's nothing that people should sleep to. And I feel very disappointed that that happened.
It's okay. It's okay. We got you out of it pretty
quickly.
Steven
Yeun plays Ricky Jupe.
He was funny in it.
He's great. I have been missing him so much. Like, I think the last thing we saw him in was Mayhem. I mean, of course, he did Minari, which ended up getting, I think, Academy Award. Minari.
Yep.
Which, I mean, what did it? Or 6 nominations for the 93rd Academy Awards? Best Picture, Director, Original Score, Screenplay, and Actor, him. So, like, he's been working.
Yep.
Really great to see him on a horror set here. He's in the new Bong Joon-ho film that's coming out. It's in production now. The Parasite director, Mickey Seven, is the name of the film coming out soon. But Steven, a character that we haven't seen from him
really,
which was fun.
It was a fun character.
Yeah. He's kind of the comic relief. There's a lot of relief in this film.
Well, he's a comic relief, but I think he's a pretty multidimensional comic relief where by the end of the movie, you understand a lot more about his actions in the movie.
Trauma comic relief.
Super trauma.
Yeah. OJ sells one of, that was what it was. That was the subtle racist thing that I forgot, is when she's like, your name is OJ?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
like, wow.
It's a theme that runs through all of Jordan's work, which is
very
important.
It is, but it was the most covert here, I would say. Part of what I believe about this movie overall is there's so much that doesn't need to be proven because he has changed the landscape so dramatically. Byron and I were talking about just the fact that 10 years ago, this would have been considered a black horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And now it really is just a horror film.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could
and
make
I don't
any argument.
You don't want to take that away, though, either.
No,
like the
no.
importance of the shift.
Not at all. Not at all. But I don't think you could credit anyone other than Jordan Peele with completely shifting the narrative to, like, black horror is no longer an outsider subgenre. Like, it is to long-term real privileged white folks like us, it's just a horror movie.
I've been
now
white my
that's
whole
all
life.
It is me too, and I feel like this, there was nothing that stood out to me as a red flag that there needed to be some claiming of territory.
Yeah.
Because he's done it. Like, it was pretty amazing in that respect. And I really think that that is a cataclysmic shift that he's solely responsible for. And I think that's one of the coolest things about this movie.
One of the most important shifts in horror.
I would agree. And because of that, there are a lot of theories. I mean, that black historical framework for the movie, he's spoken to enough that you know that's at least part of it.
Of course.
But there's this idea of spectacle and the... Byron and I were having an interesting conversation about even the historical black composition of college sports teams.
Yeah.
And how there's this uncomfortable and often unacknowledged level of spectacle associated with that, where it's a very unbalanced relationship between the viewer and the college athlete, and really kind of exploitive.
Oh, for sure.
This, I think, could be considered a little bit in that direction as well, that this family is, we now consider these black actors in horror to be a totally normal part of horror. Mm-hmm. But there's something, at least for me, looking at like these, at the beginning, they're introduced as the only
black
Wrangler horse training operation.
Yeah, I can't and remember it, exactly
so
what
it's another
say.
Space of like historically unacknowledged black presence that he is shining a light on. And in fact, there is a crazy interesting history of black cowboys. And it's not
That's
something
true. That's something that a lot of people
that
don't
isn't
know.
Discussed or part of the mainstream historical narrative surrounding cowboys and Western culture. And this movie leans in very heavily to a Western culture element, especially towards the end. Like that last 30 seconds is pure Western.
Which
I mean,
is
like
amazing.
Musically,
like cinematography,
visually, like it's full Western. And so I think there's something to be said about that. There's also, I've read some interesting arguments about this being very biblical, which, you know, you don't have to dig too far for that. The opening quote is a quote from the Bible, which...
Do you know what it was?
Yes. Do you want me to...
Yeah, read it.
I can read it. Okay, so this is the part that I am least familiar with.
I've never even heard of this.
No, I was like, that's a book in the Bible? Is that Old Testament?
Nahum
it must be
3:6.
Old Testament.
Yeah.
It's got to be, because it is, it's a violent thing. And I feel like most Old Testament or most violent stuff comes from Old Testament.
Yeah.
Prophet Nahum, was Nahum black?
I don't know.
I mean, all of the prophets were black, but is he acknowledged as being, or at least were brown?
I don't know anything about Nahum.
So here's the quote. I will cast abominable filth at you, make you vile, make you a spectacle. Okay, so you could run with that as like
so many
the
ways.
Whole exploitive us creating a spectacle out of so many black groups of people, or you could run with it as something that is said near the end of the movie where, what is it that the cinematographer says? We don't deserve the perfect shot.
Yeah.
You know, social media / spectacle / the way that our society operates these days is going to be our undoing. And I think there's an interesting argument to be made for that being the allegory as well.
I read an article this morning as I was preparing for this, and they were saying that opening, that verse could be Peele talking to his audience or his audience talking to him.
Ooh,
to look at it that
fascinating.
Way.
Fascinating.
I will pelt you with filth, I'll treat you with contempt, and I will make you a spectacle. So I think it could also address his concern too in this being his third film as
right
well.
He's living up to a pretty crazy legacy.
Yeah.
And so in some ways he's a little bit like OJ, where he is in charge of something that has almost become bigger than himself.
Sure.
The momentum behind Up and Get Out is almost impossible to calculate.
Did you call it Up? That's a Pixar movie. I think you're talking about Us.
Us. See, this is what happens.
This is what's wrong with your big old brain.
Us and Get Out.
Yeah.
And now he's got this movie where everybody, I guess he's trying to make sure that people are still thinking in really new creative ways about the work that he's putting out. And at the end of the day, the number one thing I can say for this movie, I loved it.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it. And
some
just,
people haven't, though. I don't know if you're aware of
that. But very few. It's been a pretty tiny subset. Like, the reviews... In fact, one of my biggest concerns going in was the reviews have been so overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
That is typically a precursor to me not enjoying a movie as much. So, I actually... One of our Fright Day listeners, Missy actually posted a, not, I wouldn't say a...
It wasn't glowing.
It just wasn't glowing.
It wasn't, lit up a little.
Right, but it was tempered, and that was very helpful to have going in because it allowed me to have something other than pure positivity about the movie. So I had a little bit better expectations.
Yeah.
But this was unlike anything I've ever seen before, just as his previous two movies were. Like a complete different spin on a horror subgenre.
But I think he went into it knowing he wasn't making something that was necessarily as important culturally as Us and Get Out, especially.
Maybe he feels like he's educated audiences a little bit at this point, and now he can put things in a framework that you're going to have to think more about.
I mean, like, I'm not saying that this is an empty movie.
Say that the allegories in this movie are more interpretable and more subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's got 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about Get Out, though. Those are in the 90s, right? Like,
really? I guess it's, I don't know. I don't know for a reference there. But I know, Byron, that you're not going to want to explain much more about this 98 movie.
98 for Get Out and 93 for Us. Like, it's, I mean.
That is fascinating.
It is. But I just, it's one of those things. Like, if someone's a prolific director, they don't need to constantly be one-upping themselves or trying to do that even. And I'm not saying this is even close to a bad movie. One of my favorite things. We got a text from Jacob, who still owes us a Patreon patron because he did lose us one by being an edgelord when he guested on the show. But if you want to replace that person, go to cult.frightday.com, of course.
Yep.
But he said he wanted more Signs, but got more Arrival and Annihilation.
Which is funny because those are three of the best movies ever made.
Like, there's nothing bad about
those are all three phenomenal. And ironically, yeah. I felt that this was more Signs than the other two.
It definitely had a lighter energy, I think. Which was,
Jacob, what I'm trying to tell you is that you're a moron. And you should just go watch The Scary of 61st again. All because that one is more of a safe space for you.
Well, there's no safe spaces in Dasha's world.
Except for Jacob, apparently.
Of course. But I like this movie almost because of that. Almost more because it's like, it's a spectacle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and visually, we don't need to go into it other than to say it's a UFO film, but it's a different type of UFO film.
Yep. Be ready for something interesting.
But I do want to say visually, like the budget of this is almost $70 million, and it all probably went into... Cinematically, it's probably the best thing he's done so far visually, but also like the CG is incredible.
Oh,
it's handled so well, and I'm sure a lot of the budget went into that.
Yes,
but, like,
yes.
My God, like this isn't my genre.
Sci-fi
horror is not really my thing.
It's mine.
But I had so much fun watching this.
Well, specifically, alien UFO horror is my favorite, and I would say we don't get a ton of it.
Well, because it's hard to pull off correctly.
It is hard to pull off.
I mean, there's two approaches. You can have a $70 million, or you can hide every aspect of it until the last scene and then fucking pray that it lands with the audience.
I mean, I wonder what the budget was for Signs, but anyhow.
I guarantee you, I mean, that was...
With those actors, it had to be huge.
And also this was it was prime cinema time, and it was post Sixth Sense. M. Night, so he had blank check basically.
72 million.
Oh, so very similar. All right.
Very similar.
I just want to mention real quick, Angel Torres, played by Brandon Perea, great character. For
excellent.
A film that doesn't necessarily require comic relief, he's not like an over the top, but he's a lot of fun. The dynamic that he has with the Hayward family is great.
Yes. And yeah, I really, this movie was so great.
Okay, tell me how great.
I am going to go see it again because Sam didn't get to see it with us. Yeah. And he actually likes...
He's a Peele head.
...a Peele film. And so we're going to go see it when we get back to Missoula. And hopefully it holds up as much for me. I kind of think that I'm going to be able to find more Easter eggs the second time around.
I think it's one you need to watch twice. Yeah.
Yeah. I was so pleasantly surprised with all the decisions that were made in this movie. It didn't fall into tropes. It didn't fall into the expected. It...
had the purple people eater
it did have the purple people eater in it.
She likes vinyl. M loves vinyl.
Oh God, it was so great.
Cool killer moves, by the way.
I wish I could dance like that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of practice. Natural rhythm, yeah.
I don't have either of those things. Yeah. The acting was great. The character development was really subtle. They didn't waste a bunch of time on it, but he left little breadcrumbs as the movie progressed that left me feeling like I had a really comprehensive picture of these people, even though I had very few details.
Sure.
And I think that's a testament to both, you know, writing and directing, but also to acting. It was kind of just a perfect package, this movie was.
Sure.
I know that there were a lot of expectations going in. Part of me doesn't want to oversell it because I don't want to ruin it for other people. There are going to be things that people find fault with, for sure. I just am not one of them. I loved this movie and I can't wait to go see it again. And because of that, I give...
Real quick. You got to do a high and a low.
Oh, my high?
Yeah, I forgot about that bit.
Sorry.
We haven't done it in a while.
My high was the pan flute. I'm holding to it.
God, it's okay. Sure. Okay. And you're nodding to Art Bell, of course.
Yep. And my low was the diner scene.
I think I fell asleep during that, so I'm glad.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. It just, that one didn't do as much for me as the others. I bet it was a reference that I'm going to figure out the next time around. Anyhow, I give Nope 9.3 plastic flags, not to be confused with Tibetan prayer flags.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I'll kick it off with let's go low than high. What's my low in this film? By the way, I hope you like this raw coastal version of Friday.
Raw.
Kelly woke me up very early.
Apologies.
And we're just kind of jumping into it.
Fucking baby.
Yes, I am. Low. You know, probably the pull apart pretzel.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
It wasn't that good. Okay. I pulled all the pepperoni out of it because it.
You were worried about the meat quality?
Yeah, I was nervous about all of it. Okay. Yeah, right. So that wasn't.
You didn't get sick though. You're fine.
Not yet. But the high has got to be Steven Yeun's custom cowboy jacket.
That was freaking cool. You really know that's going to be for sale somewhere.
Oh, guarantee it. That's me for Halloween.
Yeah.
It's great. I had a lot of fun with this film, and I think that that's like, I know that there's a lot of deeper meaning to it, but I like that you could approach this one from just like a casual fun place. Like, it truly is the most blockbuster of all of Jordan Peele's work.
Yep.
And I think that that's like one of the cool things about it is it's like, could he use a little bit of barricade? I love a barricade in a horror film. It didn't have that.
It's overdone. Would have been too much science-y if they did it.
I'm just a sucker. Ever since as a kid, I saw Night of the Living Dead. I love this sort of like bonding moment in the quiet. And I know that you said that that was almost like the diner scene or the dinner scene as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I like those. And that didn't really happen too terribly much. These people are pretty dead set on what their intention is. And that is to capture this UFO ship.
Which is why some people theorize that the whole movie is about the power of cinema.
I love that I called it like just a fun, inconsequential style horror film, but it leaves a door open for so much deeper meaning. And I think that that's really cool.
Yep.
I think it was an extremely successful film. The marketing was great, and I'm not disappointed at all. I agree. Temper your expectations because he's only one guy. He's not going to like.
Yep. True.
He's already changed the landscape, so let's just like let him continue to change the landscape in whatever to whatever degree. And for those reasons, I give Nope 8.7 sky keys from the sky. And those are our thoughts on Nope, which is in theaters now. I imagine it'll be in theaters for a little bit, so you do have a chance to go catch this. Yeah. And once you have, let us know what you think about it. You could reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram. Both of those are at Fright Day. We could talk about it in the Discord server, discord.frightday.com, the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Fright Day. We're still there, unfortunately. Or you could send us an email, contact@frightday.com. I got a nice email the other day, actually. It just said, thanks so much for doing the show. I really appreciate it.
Aww.
And that was like a lot. Feel free to send those my way. Those are very nice emails.
Feel free to validate me anytime.
I would love any sort of validation you have to share. But yeah, wrapping up this coastal episode, Kelly, you have a great time out here? You enjoy yourself?
Yes.
I have to start moving back now.
Yep, time to go, B.
I gotta run. What was that?
Sorry, it was that funny video that I...
Sorry, that was just that funny YouTube video.
It was the eagle.
The eagle with human arms.
Did you watch Peacemaker?
Kelly, I haven't seen it.
Peacekeeper? Peacemaker.
I think it's Peacemaker. But until next episode, Kelly, where are you going to be? Well, you're here for a bit.
Yeah, I'll be here until the next episode, probably. But I will be researching. Byron's not allowing me to tell you what it is,
not
but I will
episode.
Be researching.
Yeah, we've got something.
A really cool
something
thing.
Something coming soon, another big series. So.
Yeah, it's.
We should do something before that begins, right? A couple Lucy Light one-offs.
If you want to do one of those, throw it together, buddy. I'm already down the rabbit hole. Remember, like I told you, though, it's not really a series.
It's true. It is separate.
It's an anthology.
It is an anthology.
Yeah.
And that's going to be great. It'll run right into my
anthology.
Series. Well, we'll see how that goes. But until then, I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter and Instagram. ByronFrightDay.com is my email address. And until next Friday.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Byron.
Mm-hmm. Keep your cameras on.
Oh, and stay scared?
You've been listening to an Audio Wool original, produced by Byron McCoy, theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.